book that Greg Rochelle wrote was actually called Soul Detox. Now, in that book, there's a quote, and I gave it to you last week, and the quote is this: we are not a body with a soul, okay? We are not a body with a soul, but we are soul with a body. We are not a body with a soul, but we are a soul with a body. And if some of you were to describe the condition of your soul today, some of you would probably say, you know what, I've got a heavy soul. Yeah, I got a heavy soul. Or you might describe your soul this way. You might say, you know what, I'm just a little bit blue. I mean, maybe in the year 2022, you experienced a significant loss in your life. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you're dumped by a boyfriend, or maybe dumped by a girlfriend. Or quite possibly you have a heavy heart from loneliness, or maybe the absence of meaningful relationships in your life. Or maybe in the year 2022, you buried a parent, a spouse. Some maybe have had a miscarriage. Or maybe you experienced a divorce in the year 2022. I mean, maybe you're here this morning and you have a heavy heart, you've got a heavy soul, and you just can't figure out why. You just can't put your finger on it as to why you've got a heavy soul. Did you know this? Did you know that according to the American Psychological Association, our generation has the highest percentage of people who live with a low-grade depression? Did you know that? Our generation has the highest percentage of people who live with a low-grade depression. And here's an interesting discovery. Millennials today are more stressed than any other generation. Millennials today are more stressed than any other generation. And I'm not talking about deep depression, but what I'm talking about is this low-grade depression. You've got a heavy soul, or maybe you could say it, I've got a heavy heart. It's kind of like the old cartoon. Remember the old cartoon back in the day? You've got this cartoon character walking around all the time, and there's this little rain cloud following them around all the time. You see, people today have an inner dissatisfaction. A lot of people today have a lack of hope. A lot of people today have this absence of optimism. And the feeling that we have today, it's not anything new. It's not anything new at all. In fact, thousands of years ago, do you remember King David back in the Old Testament? King David back in the Old Testament wrote this in Psalm chapter 42. There he said, "Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad?" You see, there's this heaviness of the soul for him. And some of you, you look at your life and you ask the question, why in the world is my heart so sad? Why is that? Well, it might be for any number of reasons, and I think they probably be grouped into three different reasons. Number one, it might be regrets from your past. Number two, it might be troubles in your present. Or number three, you might have some anxiety about your future. You just can't put your finger on it, though. And I think Jesus himself probably experienced something very close to this in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the words Garden of Gethsemane, those are some pretty significant words for a couple of different reasons. One, that's the place where Jesus was the night before he was crucified, and he is praying with his disciples. That's where Jesus was the night before his crucifixion when he was arrested to be crucified. You see, here's another reason why the Garden of Gethsemane is significant, because it refers to a place of crushing. The Garden of Gethsemane actually refers to a place of crushing. You see, the Garden of Gethsemane was actually an olive grove. I mean, it's still there even today. It's an olive grove. And Jesus was there in this olive grove with his disciples. And in that same olive grove at that time, there was this olive press. They would take the olives from the trees, put them in this press, and the press would crush the olives to get the oil out of them. It was a place of crushing. The Garden of Gethsemane was a place of crushing, literally, and I believe figuratively as well. Check out Check out Mark chapter 14. There in verses 33 and 34, it tells us this. Mark chapter 14. Do we have that for the screen? There we go. He took Peter, James, and John. That is, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, and check this out. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." My soul is crushed. In other words, Jesus had a heavy soul. He had a heavy heart. And some of you might be here today and you've got a distressed soul. You've got a heavy soul yourself. You might be troubled yourself. And the thing of it is, some of you might not be able to put your finger on it. You might not be able to figure out why. And the question is this. If you've got a heavy soul, if you're just blue, if you've got this rain cloud following you around all the time, how do you cope with that? I mean, if you look at people today and how they cope with things, people cope with things in any number of ways. Some people cope with things by taking pills. Others cope by alcohol. Others, when they try to cope with things like that, they just binge on Netflix, right? Hour after hour after hour, or maybe day after day, they binge on Netflix. Or maybe some people, they're readers, and they just fantasize their life away in some kind of a novel or a number of novels. Or for some, the way that they cope is that they have an affair. Or maybe a number of affairs. And look at David's words again. They're in Psalm 42:5. Let's look at that again. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then he goes on to say, I will put my hope in God. It's almost like he's yelling it out. I'm going to put my hope in God. It's David's experience that God's power and presence is the only way to free your heavy heart. Now, a lot of people grew up. A lot of people grew up being taught, in fact, I was, you grew up being taught to act like things just didn't bother you. And if you acted as though things didn't bother you in this life, that was a sign of strength. Oh yeah, you're a strong person. Nothing bothers you at all. Yet, at the same time, even though you acted as though you don't have anything that bothers you, you've got feelings inside you don't know what to do with. And this is especially true for guys. Especially true for guys. Now, I'm going to describe something to you. And I think probably a lot of you can identify with this, and you guys especially, Paul and Amber, can probably identify with this. But when my kids were really, really young, we were at Brownsburg Christian. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But at any rate, my wife and I came from Western Illinois. Our kids were small, and we traveled to Illinois a number of times every year, at least 12, 13 times every year, just to see Grandma and Grandpa. We'd get the kids in the car, right? Get the kids in the car. We'd leave Brownsburg, get on I-74, and head west. About 15, 20, 30 minutes into the drive, 5 or 6 hour drive, hello, into the drive, the kids would start asking the question, are we there yet? Yeah. Are we there yet? And they'd ask that question over and over and over and over again. It was a billion times in 5 or 6 hours. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or how about this? How about this? I hear from the back of the van, Dad, he's touching me. Can anybody relate? Or Dad, he's talking to me. Or how about this? How about this? Quit looking at me. You ever had that stuff happen to you guys? We did almost every single trip. We were up to here with it, and guess how we fixed it? We fixed it by playing a game in the car. We fixed it by playing the quiet game in the car. You know what the quiet game's all about, don't you? The kid who is quiet the longest wins. It was a great game. We loved it. Now, here's my point. There are a lot of people in our world today, maybe some of you, but a lot of people in our world today who put their game face on and they pretend it doesn't hurt and they play the quiet game. You pretend it doesn't hurt, by being silent about the hurt. I don't know where that came from, but it certainly didn't come from the Bible. Do you know what the Bible says in part in Ecclesiastes? There's a time to dance. There's a time to celebrate. And there's also a time to mourn. Look at the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms is written mainly by King David, but also there's a number of other authors in the book of Psalms. If you look at the book of Psalms, the majority of those authors, the majority of those writers are moaning and groaning and whining, "Why me? Why now? God, where are you today? Where are you in my life?" Now, also there's another book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. Lamentations is the writing of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is lamenting with a heavy heart. Now, if you want to pick me up today, I would not suggest that you go read the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is not a good book to read. It's not a cheery book to read to lift your spirits. But here's my point. The Bible, here it is, write it down. The Bible gives us permission to mourn. The Bible gives us permission to mourn. Tell God about your disappointments. Tell God about your grief. Tell God about your hurt. And the thing of it is, if you're not able to talk to your earthly father for any number of reasons, you can certainly talk to your heavenly father about your disappointments, about your hurt, about your grief. You don't have to live with it any longer all by yourself. Now check out 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. There Paul writes and he says this. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all" what? "The source of all comfort." I want you to hang on to that word comfort, would you? Hang on to the word comfort. You see, the word comfort there is very, very important because the Greek word for that word comfort is the Greek word paraklesis. I should have put that up on the screen for you. Paraklesis. P-A-R-A-C-L-E-S-I-S. Paraklesis. Now, it means to come alongside in order to comfort. Here's another lesson for you in the Greek language today. The Greek word for Holy Spirit, the Greek word for Holy Spirit is paraklete. You see, paraklesis and paraklete are both related to one another. One comes from the other. And with the words Holy Spirit or paraklete, God comes alongside of you in the form of the Holy Spirit to help you. Now, have you ever used an attorney? Most of us probably have. Attorneys employ paralegals. These paralegals come alongside the attorney in order to help them. If you are crazy enough to jump out of a plane, I would hope that you would have a parachute on your back. Exactly right. Because you're going to need that parachute at the most critical time in your life, or else you're going to die. A parachute, a paralegal, a paraclete. You see, for anybody who has a heavy soul, for anyone who is in grief, anyone who's in pain, you've got a heavenly Father who wants to hear from you and wants to comfort you and help you. He will comfort you and help you with His power and presence. Now, when Jesus was born, Jesus was given a number of names. One of the names that Jesus was given when He was born is Emmanuel. Do you remember what Emmanuel means? Emmanuel means, exactly right, God with us. You see, God came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ to experience what we experience, to suffer with us. I mean, not only did Jesus take our guilt and our sin to the cross, but He also took our pain and suffering to the cross. The Bible calls Jesus a man of sorrows, and He's well acquainted with grief. Of all the gods that we've concocted in our minds over the centuries, the only true God of the Bible is the one who came down here to live with us. He came into our world. He came into our pain. He came into our suffering. He's that kind of a God. Now, back in the Old Testament again, Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, He was king of Israel. He told his people in 2 Corinthians chapter 32. This is what he said in chapter 32. He said, and he told this to the people of Israel. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria or his mighty army. For there is a power far greater by our side. He may have a great army." Okay, given. He may have a great army. But they are merely men. They are merely men. We have the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles for us. I mean, if you stop and think about this verse right here or these verses right here, these verses are powerful. They're merely men. Our help, the one who fights our battles, is the God battles, is the God of the universe. He fights our battles. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he will fight your battles as well because he knows your needs. We can bring our hurts. We can bring our battles to him. He is the Father who comforts us, and he is the Father who fights our battles for us. I mentioned just a little bit ago, Brownsburg Christian Church. It's known today. They've relocated it since I've been there. Now they're Connection Point Christian Church in Brownsburg. While I was on staff there years and years ago, we had a younger family in the church had only been there maybe just a few years. One daughter, one boy in high school, and late, it might have been early on a Monday morning, but it was late Sunday night, I got a phone call from the dad. You see, the family had been trying to call our senior pastor, and they couldn't get a hold of him. It was late at night, he was probably sleeping, and they kept trying to call him, and so they couldn't get a hold of him. They finally called me, and when I answered the phone, I heard the voice of a dad who was sobbing hysterically. You see, like I said, they had a daughter. Her name was Christy. Christy worked for Domino's Pizza, delivering pizzas. And late one night, on a Sunday night, probably about midnight, Christy was on her way to deliver some pizzas. She was in a hurry. And right behind our church building, about a half a block, maybe a block, there was a railroad crossing with no arms. And she was in a hurry. And she sped across the tracks at the precise moment when that train was coming through that crossing. And Christy was killed. And as I was talking to the dad, or trying to listen to the dad on the phone, I could hear the mom in the background just sobbing and literally wailing. I went by our pastor's house, and I knocked on the door, and he finally came to the door in his gym shorts and t-shirt. Obviously, he'd been in bed, and I told him what was going on. He hurriedly threw his clothes on. We hopped in the car. We drove over to the parents' house. Up until that point in my life, I had never been in a situation quite like that. You see, the parents were unconsolable. And we stayed there for hours upon hours. We talked with them. And the only thing that would just bring them a little bit, just a little bit of consolation, the only thing that would help them was prayer. That's about the only thing that would help them. I will never, ever forget that night as long as I live. Let me say this. You have a Heavenly Father whose power and presence is with you, and He wants to comfort you. He wants to remind you that you are not alone. With God, we can be strong through tears. We can be courageous through tears because we have a greater power within us. You see, Hezekiah was saying, they're merely men. But we've got a God, the God of the universe, and it's the same thing for us. We've got God, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, on our side. And please hear me. God's power and presence is the only path for the release of your heavy soul. The only path. Now, there are a lot of you who believe that down to your toes. You believe it. Oh, I believe it down to my toes. But truth be known, you just don't sense God's power. You just don't sense God's presence in the situation or maybe even in your life. And that begs the question, why not? Why not? I mean, you might say, I've begged and I've begged and I've begged God. I've pleaded with Him over and over again, but still I don't sense God's power. Still I don't sense God's presence. I just don't. This morning I'm going to let you in on a little secret that maybe you haven't picked up before. And here's the secret. God's power and presence is only fully experienced in community with God's people. God's power and God's presence is only fully experienced in community, in relationships with God's people. That's the only place you can fully experience it. And this has always been God's plan. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 18. He says this in verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there," he says. "I am there among them." Did you see what it said? Just two or three people, I'm there with them. Just two or three people, when they get together, God's power and His presence is there. I mean, I've seen this with my own eyes, folks. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've watched God's power and His presence show up with this family who tragically lost their daughter. The night of the accident, the only time these parents would experience any type of consolation, the only time was when Christians would pray with them. I mean, the word was getting out very quickly through the night. Friends would come over, family would come over, church people would come over. And they'd talk and they'd cry and they'd talk and they'd cry and then they'd pray. And then the parents had just a little bit of consolation come into their lives. And then we had the funeral. After the funeral was over and after a few weeks, you know, things began to settle out. The parents would come into the church building. And they just looked empty as they walked into the church building. They just looked empty. Just walking zombies, not having any life inside of them. And then they got involved in a Sunday school class. After that, they got involved in a small group. And I noticed after they got involved in that Sunday school class and the small group as well, I noticed that every so often they would smile. Albeit very few times, but every so often they would smile. And it seemed like they would smile a little bit more and a little bit more as time went on. After they got involved in Sunday school or in a small group. You see, up until that point, they really had no reason to smile. You see, up until that point, they really had no real friends. They had really no one who would sit down and listen to them. They had no one who would sit down and try to listen to their pain. They had no one to sit down with them and just cry with them. They had no one. And guess what? They got involved. And they're still involved in the church today. I know that. They're still involved in the church today. Now, I also watch God's power and presence in my own life. Most of you know that back in the early 90s, my former wife left me. And after she left, I was trying to cope with the pain and the brokenness and the loneliness. And in the process of trying to deal with all that stuff, I realized that, you know what, you really don't have any really close friends. Oh, I had a lot of friends. I knew a bunch of people. I mean, I was at a huge church, huge. I was speaking at my alma mater. I was speaking at other churches. I was speaking at conventions. I knew a lot of people, but guess what? I just didn't have anyone close to me. And there was a time back then when I was going through that whole thing that things turned very, very dark for me. And also back then, there were a few guys that just kept every week reaching out. Every week, reaching out. Every week, giving me a phone call. Touching base with me. And finally, finally I reached back. And I'm here to tell you today, I have made my share of bad decisions in my life. Oh, man. But that was the best decision I ever made, was to reach back to those guys. One of the guys is about 15 years older than I am. He was an engineer at Allison's, been through a divorce. Man, he had a ton of good advice, godly advice. Another one of the guys is a guy that's about my age, still a good friend of mine. Another one of the guys was a minister about 10 years older than I am, and he was at another church, but he eventually became my counselor. And we would get together sometimes for breakfast, sometimes in the evening for just to hang out, to watch a game or talk or do something. And these guys gave me incredible advice. One of them tried to teach me, Lynn, just don't take yourself so seriously. Come on. I still need to learn that lesson. You know, kind of lighten up a little bit. But these guys listened to my pain. These guys listened to my brokenness. These guys listened to me as I try to figure out my identity. And they listened to my shattered dreams. You see, that group of guys, with them, I found unconditional acceptance. I found confidentiality. With those guys, they gave me unbelievable wisdom. And because of that relationship with those guys, I experienced God's power. I experienced God's presence in my life. You see, where two or three are gathered together, here it is, where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there. God is there. And you need to know that for this principle to be realized in your life, it takes more than just sitting in rows once a week. For this principle to be realized in your life, it takes more than just sitting in rows once a week. If you're serious about your spiritual life in the year through 2023, you need to get involved in a Sunday school class and or a small group. I'm just going to put it out there. You need to get involved. And in fact, we've got a table straight out these doors in our lobby where we're going to have a couple sitting who is involved in a small group. They're also involved in a Sunday school class. And they will take your name, they will take your number, and they will take your email address, and we will contact you if you want to get involved in a small group in a Sunday school class. And they're going to be sitting right out there in the lobby. And they're going to answer any questions that you might have. Because for you to fully realize this principle in your life, you need to get involved in the lives of other Christians. We need to get sitting in circles rather than sitting in rows. We need to be looking at each other rather than looking at the back of each other's head. We need to start sitting in circles. And please understand, sooner or later, you're going to experience a heavy, heavy soul. You will need other Christians in your life. You'll need other Christians in your life to help you and comfort you. They can be the conduit for God's power and presence in your life. And the time's going to come up, the time is going to come when you're going to need it. Now, some of you can come up with all sorts of excuses, myself included. Just ask my wife why I don't want to do this and why I don't want to do that. I mean, you might say, well, Lynn, I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying, but what if I get involved in a group, and quite frankly, I just don't like those people. You know what I mean? Or what about this? I'm way too busy. I've got way too many irons in the fire. I'm guilty of that one. I've got way too many irons in the fire. Or what about this? What about this? We're just going to sit around for an hour, hour and a half, and stare at each other. I can't do it. Listen, you need to do this if you're serious about your spiritual life in the year 2023. These people can be a conduit for God's power and presence in your life. And when a crisis hits your life, and I will guarantee if you've not had a crisis yet in your life, you will have a crisis. Guarantee. I'll put $1 million down on it. You will have a crisis in your life that you can't deal with alone. When those times hit, guess what? You have got other Christians around you to help you get through this thing. I mean, it's biblical. Jesus himself had a small group. He did. The 12 disciples were his small group. It's biblical. In fact, beyond that, he had the three. We've already read about them. Peter, James, and John. Remember those guys? They were his small group. They were the inner circle. They knew everything about Jesus. Everything. So I guess the question boils down to this. Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be like Jesus? Or another question is, do you want to get rid of that heavy soul that you have this year? Because understand, if you have a heavy soul and you're trying to get rid of it, it probably won't happen like that. It'll take some time. But do you want to get rid of your heavy soul? And the first step for some of you might be this. It might be getting into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That might be your first step. If you want to get involved, we've got that table straight out these doors against the back wall in the lobby, and we've got a paper there for you to sign. We'll get in contact with you. And we'll try to get you in. And some of you might be able to lead a small group. Some of you might just be in a small group. Some of you might have the gift of hospitality and you want to host a small group. We've got Sunday school classes that you can get involved in. So the question is, do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to get rid of your heavy soul? Is another question. Or the most basic question is this. Do you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior? We would love to talk with you about that as well. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for today. And God, we're grateful for this opportunity that we have to be here and to look at your word and see the importance of being involved in each other's lives. God, it's not always convenient. God, it's not always fun. But God, it's always the right thing to do. Because we're always, all of us are going to have a crisis in our lives. And God, we're going to need other people, other followers, other Christians to lean on. To speak truth, to speak wisdom, to speak comfort into our lives. So God, we pray that you would lead us and that we would follow to be involved, to be a follower of yours. We pray in Jesus' name today. Amen.